So the reformers, in understanding, hey, we can teach these truths and articulate the gospel through written prayers set to music. This was a recovery that took singing out of the monasteries and put it into the not just the church pews, but into the fields, into the kitchens, into the roads as people went on journeys. It caused the Word of God to become embedded in people's hearts in such a way that it became part of life.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. I'm Byron Tyler. Always a pleasure to have you stop by and join us as we visit with our guests, learn about some new things that are happening in our city. Today we want to welcome Dr. Sean Lucas, Senior Pastor at Independent Presbyterian Church. Sean, so good to have you in. We got some exciting things to talk about, but you, as of January this year, have been the Senior Pastor at Independent Press, and welcome to Memphis.
Well, thank you so much. It's a great pleasure to be here with you.
I noticed that you grew up in New Jersey. Give us a little backstory of, did a little traveling too. You didn't stay in one place.
Yeah, so I was born outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but Memphis is actually my 18th different house address with 11 major moves in there. And so it's always a tough question when someone says, where are you from? I tend to say, well, everywhere, nowhere, not really certain. But we're glad to be in Memphis now.
Now, you spent some time in St. Louis. Is this the furthest south you've been?
Actually, we came to Memphis from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. So South Mississippi, 4.5 hours away, where I served First Presbyterian Church for the last 8 years.
You also, I think, taught at a Reform Seminary. You also taught where else?
At Covenant Theological Seminary. So I was academic dean and associate professor of church history at Covenant in St. Louis from 2005 to 2009. And then I've taught for RTS since 2011.
So I guess that's been a real joy for you.
Yeah, to be able to exercise all the different kind of muscles in terms of my pastoral gifting. Yeah, it's a great joy to be able to do that.
How do you, when you talk about that muscle, how do you discover those giftings? You know, I mean, when you first sense, hey, God wants me to preach his word, I mean, that's a pretty big and awesome responsibility.
Well, I felt called to preach when I was 16 years old. My parents had pulled me out of our public school and put me into an independent Baptist Christian school. And it was during chapel one day that I heard the minister preach on Acts 26, O most thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And God used that sermon to challenge me that I was not fully surrendered to God's will. And so I did. And part of that involved a call to preach. So I started preaching in country Baptist churches when I was 16 and became one of my pastor's preacher boys. And so I've been a preacher for 30 years now through different fits and starts. And so, you know, there's this internal sense of calling that, yeah, God's calling me to do this. But then there's this also this external confirmation where God's people rise up and say, yeah, you are actually equipped to do that. And sometimes it happens quickly and sometimes it happens over the process of years.
Well, I've heard it said, Sean, that if God calls you to preach, he's also called people to hear you.
Thankfully, that's the case.
And the school you're referring to is Bob Jones University. And recently I did an interview with Tim Simpson, who is a weather guy here in our local CBS affiliate. And he reluctantly shared a story recently on an interview here that he had no desire to go to Bob Jones. He was actually drugged, put in the car, and taken there. You know, his dad said, this is where you're going to school. But he said it was the greatest experience because God, in a chapel service, just like you're saying, got a hold of his heart.
Yeah. I actually went to Liberty University my freshman year and then transferred to Bob Jones. And God used that experience at BJU in Greenville, South Carolina, not just to continue to shape my calling, but that's how I met my wife. We actually had assigned chapel seats next to each other. I think the university figured that if you couldn't meet a girl any other way, they would rotate your chapel seats every 7 weeks. And so I was talking to the girl on my right when my now wife walked up and sat next to me. And I said, oh, I need to ask her out. And then 3 years later, after I graduated with my master's degree from Bob Jones, we got married.
So was it pretty easy to get things started or did it take a while?
Oh, yeah. No, it was probably too quick. We wouldn't want to tell all our kids, all four of our kids, the stories of all of how that happened. But yeah, no, it was a great time.
Okay, we'll keep that private on the radio.
Thank you.
So do you have a family member, parents or grandparent?
Well, if you go back far enough in our family tree, my great-great-grandfather was a minister. And then the Callaway line, I've been told there's over 200 Callaways and my descendants who are my predecessors who were ministers. But no, not in my direct family.
We kind of get together here to talk about a special evening that's coming to Independent Press on Sunday, September 24th, Songs of Reformation Concert. We're going to give some more details about that as we approach this 500th anniversary when Martin Luther nailed that thesis on the door there in Wittenberg. That's kind of what we're looking to celebrate through song. This is a pretty monumental celebration for the church, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. At IPC, we've been already in our celebration time. We spent August on Wednesday nights with guests like Ligon Duncan and Scotty Smith and John Sartell, exploring the different solas of the Reformation, scripture alone, faith alone, Christ alone, grace alone, to the glory of God alone. We have this opportunity in September to host Ligonier and to hear these Songs of Reformation, a new album that Dr. R.C. Sproul and Jeff Lippincott have put together. We are the premiere of this new hymn project. And then in October, with our Reformation service that we do jointly with a number of Presbyterian Reformed churches here in Memphis, hosted at Second Pres on the 29th. And then we're hosting a lunch on the 31st, which is the actual date 500 years later where Luther took his stand. Yeah, we're trying to make sure that our folks recognize how important this time is. 500 years of Protestantism, and what does that mean for us as God's people? Those are some of the things we're trying to explore.
Really, what is significant about the Reformation as it pertains to the way the church exists today?
Well, I would argue that it's scripture alone is the not just the formal principle of the Reformation, but it really is a material principle, which is to say that that it's without scriptural authority as the supreme authority, the norm that norms all norms in terms of what goes into church life, in terms of what's preached, doctrine, what's taught, how Christians live. That was a recovery that the Reformation regained for us. So being Protestant in this day and age means we allow Scripture to judge us. The church doesn't judge Scripture, as other traditions might teach. So that emphasis upon Scripture alone as the supreme authority, that to me is one of those benefits that we still continue to draw upon from the Protestant Reformation. It's something important to celebrate.
So definitely it would concern you to see the church swaying from that original intent of the Reformation.
Absolutely. Now, throughout 500 years, there have been drifts away from scriptural authority. One of the reasons why my denomination, the Presbyterian Church in America, was started in 1973 was a drift in the Southern Presbyterian Church away from scriptural authority. So there have been periods of reform, but that reform always leads back to that kind of cardinal understanding of the Protestant Reformation, that scripture alone is the authority by which we preach, teach, and live.
Today's generation, thinking back 500 years ago, come on, that was so long ago.
Well, as a church historian, someone who has his PhD in American religious history and taught church history at two seminaries, I'm constantly trying to make the case for why church history is important. But particularly when it comes to issues of identity, when you think about religious identity, or really identity in general, it's a confluence of beliefs, practices, and stories. Beliefs are those core understandings that shape who I am and what I do. Practices are those habits of life that flow out of those beliefs, those core understandings. But stories are the narratives that we tell that make it all make sense. And so if we lose sight of the stories, then we lose a significant part of our identity. Now, as a historian, one of the things I can tell you is that all history is contested history, and that's always been the case. And so as we try to retell this story of the Reformation, telling a full-orbed, thick description type of story, I think is important. But make no mistake, they were heroic in standing for the truth of Scripture alone, especially because as we bow to the authority of Scripture, what we find is it points us to faith alone and Christ alone by grace alone.
I never will forget the evening at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention this year, actually, in Orlando. R.C. Sproul gave the closing address, and he spoke on this very issue that evening. One of the things that was so intriguing, of course, anytime R.C. Sproul speaks to me, it's very intriguing, but some of the misunderstandings of what took place at that time when Luther encountered, this whole experience. One of the things R.C. brought really into light for me was the internal struggle, I guess, that Martin Luther had to make that decision. You know, some of the films we see, and he even alluded to this, shows Luther boldly, "I will not recant." But it was a bigger struggle for him. I mean, not that he didn't want to stand on scripture alone principle, by no means, but there was this battle he had personally. He didn't give his answer right away.
Well, to be sure, I mean, one of the centerpieces of Luther's own personal struggle, as well as his recognition of what other people deal with, is he uses a German word that translates to agonizing struggle. And part of Luther's agonizing struggle that the devil brought against him was, are you alone right? When the church is standing in a different place, when it appears that the traditions, at least the recent traditions, were standing in a different place, how could Luther be sure that standing on scripture alone and this reformational discovery that the righteous are made righteous by faith alone in Christ alone, how could you be certain that that is in fact true? And that's where I think the courage of a Luther comes through, is that he was willing to pray and to meditate and to struggle, but to ultimately to bow to the authority of Christ as given in Holy Scripture, that standing there and taking his stand there, even in the face of such opposition, is what makes him courageous and heroic for our generation.
And I think, too, great music was penned from Martin Luther. Just like the evening that you're going to celebrate, I didn't realize that R.C. Sproul had written music.
Well, this is, I think, R.C.'s second album of hymnody. There was an album that came out a couple of years ago. I think they're called Hymns to the Holy God or something along that line. But these hymns, from what I've been told, actually center on 1517. So they focus in on Luther's struggle and the glorious truths of the Reformation. And so for those who come to the concert on September 24th at 6 p.m. at Independent Presbyterian Church, they're going to be taken right to the core beliefs and really the heart of our Protestant faith.
So it's kind of like a Handel's Messiah. That is, of course, a classic musical piece. There's theology all through that wonderful presentation.
Absolutely. And particularly to focus in on scripture alone and Christ alone, faith alone, grace alone. Those themes will come out through the music again and again.
You know, Sean, I was just thinking, we really need a message like that today. We need to hear it clear, don't we? Because we're in a ever-changing time, all kinds of opinions, and everybody has one on social media, you know. Just to be able to have clarity in that. Talk about that a minute.
Well, and especially for evangelical churches, it feels as though we are in a time where we are losing our way because, in part, every man's doing what's right in his own eyes. And so returning back to the authority of Scripture and coming back again to believe that the Bible is the rule for faith and practice. It is not something that simply gives us life principles, but actually is food for us. Just as Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, quoting Deuteronomy 8. That commitment, not just on the part of evangelical preachers and teachers, but on the part of everyday Christians, I think it will shift if we were to come back to that commitment, it would shift the way we live in this world, and it would change the face of our city.
It seems like Luther, really, what he did too was lay a foundation for the church to engage culture. And what we've seen over these past 500 years, do you think maybe the church, for some time, having backed away from engaging culture, that's why it's lost some of its influence?
Well, yes, I think particularly for conservative evangelicals in the 20th century, there was a period in time in which we backed away from the culture. Of course, for the last 40 years, perhaps we've pendulum swung too far,
yeah,
and re-engaged the culture with such vengeance that we might be losing sight of what's most important, because what's ultimately most important is not whether we win an election or whether we have our principles established in the public square. What's ultimately most important is faith in Jesus Christ. People are lost and going to hell apart from Jesus Christ. That's the main message we have. The main thing we have to offer is a love relationship with a God who's pursued us already in love in Jesus Christ. Christ alone is our only hope. And so to be able to kind of come back to a center place or a middle point between disengagement and overengagement, it might be the need of the hour.
And it's something about the way music can open up the heart to allow these truths to find a place to settle.
Well, it was one of the insights of the Reformation, both from the Lutheran side and from the Reform side, is that hymnody, which draws from Old Testament Psalms, gives a voice to prayer. But not all prayer is just simply praying with a common voice. Music is a way of helping us articulate our prayers. It's profoundly biblical in that regard. Anyone who's read the Psalms knows that. So the Reformers, in understanding, hey, we can teach these truths and articulate the gospel through written prayers set to music. This was a recovery that took singing out of the monasteries and put it into the, not just the church pews, but into the fields, into the kitchens, into the roads as people went on journeys. It caused the Word of God to become embedded in people's hearts in such a way that it became part of life.
Okay, Sunday night, September 24th. This is a free event, I believe.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's free. Ligonier would love for you to register for the event at ligonier.org. You can also find information about the event on our website, Independent Presbyterian Church website, which is ipcmemphis.org. But it's free, and we would love to have you with us at IPC.
What are you hoping that people will take away from this night?
Well, first and foremost, I hope that people will take away a heart of deep gratitude and praise. The God who has shepherded his church for all these years and has brought back the church from corruption through reform, through revival through the years, is the same God who desires to reform us today, who's at work in so many different venues, large churches, small churches, churches of different faith traditions. This God, as he's proclaimed from Scripture, with an emphasis upon Scripture alone and focused on Christ alone, he's still at work. Yeah. And so that, to me, is the biggest thing that I hope people take away, is a heart of deep gratitude to God.
Sean, you're coming up soon to be on your first anniversary. We've got just a few months, but you're on the backside of it right now. What have you enjoyed about the city of Memphis since you've been here?
Well, barbecue, obviously. we're big barbecue fans, and so we have been working our way through all the various barbecue restaurants here in Memphis, and that is no small feat. But one of the things that we've really appreciated about Memphis is the deep love that Memphians have for their city. It's one of the things that has really happened over the last 10 years, is the way that, whether it's Choose 901 or whether it's the work of City Current or a number of organizations in our city, have really tried to tell the good sides and the good stories of what God is doing here. And so IPC, we want to lean into that. Our aspirational motto is New People, New Memphis. We believe that God's at work forming us as a new people, not just for ourselves, but to see a new city emerge. So we've come to love this place. Of course, the barbecue helps.
I can't argue with that at all. And I've been to some events that city leadership has sponsored that has been at IPC. So mm-hmm. I know there'll be hopefully great opportunities that those kind of relationships can continue too. Obviously, cities have needs. People have needs. As you look at the needs of Memphis and you look at some ways that a ministry like IPC can connect and can gauge those needs, how do you see the church doing that?
Well, as my friend Sandy Wilson, the former retired pastor at Second Presbyterian Church, reminds us, there are 129 neighborhoods in Memphis, and they all need Bible preaching, gospel preaching churches. So our city won't change apart from the gospel of Jesus. And so our fundamental commitment at IPC is to church planting. We hope to be a catalyst to plant 7 churches in the next 12 years. We know that's a drop in the bucket of what our city needs, but we believe that as we partner together with others, praying for each other, I regularly pray for our sister churches, not just Presbyterian churches, but other churches in our city, week by week from the pulpit. As we see new churches raised up, they're the most effective means of evangelism out there, because it's through the preached word especially that God wins people to Christ. We think that the face of our city will change, but we're engaged in other things as well. Through its history, its rich history, IPC has helped start a number of mercy ministries. Our folks are involved in all sorts of things, from Salvation Army to streets to Life Choices to Bethany to many other things besides. And we hope to continue to be an incubator and catalyst for mercy and justice ministries, because Jesus doesn't simply heal souls, he heals bodies and souls together. He cares for the whole person. And we recognize that if we're going to see a new Memphis emerge, we need to see new people, both in terms of their hearts being changed, but also in terms of their whole lives being changed. And so it's a little bit of what we've been working on.
What typically is your biggest adjustment as a pastor when you move into a new position?
Well, the biggest challenge is learning names. So at IPC, we have 2,000 members. And so trying to get those names down week by week, it feels like final exam week as people come and greet you. But names are not just names, right? I mean, numbers are not just numbers. They're real people. And so those names have stories connected to them. They have heartaches connected to them. They have children who were wayward connected to them. And so a big challenge as a pastor is and when you're in a new place, is learning your people and loving them so that they know that you love them. And even in a church the size of IPC, where we have other staff pastors who might be more on the front lines of the day-to-day care, I want to know our people. And so, you know, in this first year of learning names and memorizing the family trees and knowing who's connected to whom, I'm also trying to know the stories. And when there's sorrows and difficulties, I want to be present one way or the other. You know, Jesus didn't minister to people from a distance and simply allow the 12. Jesus himself was present. And so that's not just a desire, it's right at the heart of what pastoral ministry is about, and Lord willing, what I can do for our church.
One nice connection that we have here to offer you as a St. Louis Cardinal fan is that we have the farm club, the Redbirds.
We've already been to a couple of games. Yes, all my St. Louis Cardinal friends have been grateful that I've been taking such good care of our kids here.
Oh, so. My. And you've got four children. Benjamin, is he your oldest?
So Ben's our youngest.
Yes. Backwards.
Yeah, so Sam is our oldest. He's a sophomore at Mississippi State. Liz is a freshman at Mississippi State. And then Drew is an 11th grader, and Ben is an 8th grader, and they both go to ECS here in town.
Any thoughts that your children might follow into ministry?
Well, we don't know what God will do, you know, because calling to ministry involves that internal desire. But, you know, we pray to that end.
Sean, before we say goodbye, let's go back over the details for the Songs of Reformation concert at Independent Presbyterian Church on Sunday, September 24th, 6 p.m. I believe you said the doors open around 5:30?
Oh, we'll have the doors open before that.
Okay.
Yeah, the doors should be open by about 5 o'clock for folks who want to get us, you know, their preferred seating. Yeah, and we're located at 4738 Walnut Grove Road in East Memphis. All the information in regards to the concert will be found at ipcmemphis.org.
Now, at this time, I believe Dr. Sproul is scheduled to be here for the event. And I know he's had some issues with his health. You know, I was amazed at the NRB in the spring. He had a little scooter that he rode up on the stage. But once he got behind that pulpit, if you closed your eyes, you would have no idea that he had any kind of physical challenge or anything that was slowing him down at all. When he opened up the Word, he was preaching.
Yeah, Dr. Sproul is planning on being here, and it's a really important connection for IPC, because way back in 1979, 1980, a couple of years after my predecessor, John Sartell, became the pastor at IPC, he invited RC to come and to bring a Ligonier conference to IPC. And at that time, we were a small little church that no one had heard of. And but Dr. Sproul, somewhat courageously, I think, came to Memphis and fell in love with IPC and with the city of Memphis. And really throughout the 80s, came every year either for a Ligonier conference or for a Philadelphia Reform conference on theology. To be able to have Dr. Sproul come back to IPC after all these years, 37 years of connection, is a great gift.
Wow. Well, Dr. Sean Lucas, thank you so much for being our guest today. Thanks for sharing this great event with our listeners, too.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, friends, as Dr. Lucas has reminded us, we can get all the details about the Night of Wonderful Music Songs of Reformation concert at Independent Presbyterian Church, 4738 Walnut Grove Road. You can go to the website at ipcmemphis.org, ipcmemphis.org. You can also, if you have a question about maybe something of the church, you can call 901-685-8206 in case senior members that don't like to use computers would like to call the church, 901-685-8206. And I do hope you'll make plans to come and enjoy the evening. It's going to be wonderful. I didn't ask this question, Dr. Lucas. I want to go back to it before we say goodbye. Final say goodbye. There's going to be a complete orchestra. Now, are these local musicians or are these that Ligonier Ministries will be bringing here?
No, there'll be local musicians. It's going to be a 45-piece orchestra, full choir. Now, the choir will largely be IPC folks, but we'll have some folks from some of the area churches as well. So it should be a glorious night of music.
It's going to be a great one. Well, friends, on that, we're going to say goodbye. Thanks for listening to this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. I'm Byron Tyler. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.